Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, early in the evening, and, oh my goodness. Jack, do you hear that?
No, I don't hear anything.
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, it's Sunday afternoon, early in the evening, actually. This is Here Be Monsters from South Florida. My name is Gwendolyn H. Berry, and I'm your host. And with me tonight, generally always is Jack Jodell of the Saturday Afternoon Post. He's in Minnesota. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Gwendolyn, and everybody out there. Hope you're doing good tonight on this very hot, typical July Sunday.
Oh, soon it'll be dog days, as they say. You know, we do have a guest for today. His name is Kevin Blanch. He's he's a video blogger over at the team we share over at Roundtree 7. He hasn't called in yet, and I'm wondering if I'm supposed to call him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to write our call-in number on the guest chat, just in case. Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask you, so what do you think is going to happen with the debt ceiling?
Well, it looks like one good thing is that it looks like Cantor's had his butt handed to him, deservedly so, and he's been caught between an avalanche of Obama on one side and Boehner on the other, with a little kick in the butt from McConnell to help. Those are unexpected allies in this fight. But that guy is so off the wall and so out of control and such a overeager little puppy, it just makes you sick to look at him. I can't stand Cantor.
It really is quite a
quite a
horse of that. But I got to tell you, they all seem very much to me
kicking the can down the road.
Well, not only that, but they also seem to be very much on the side of, you know, the elitists, the corporatists,
yeah.
the
everybody else has been forgotten.
Corporation. They're the looming evil empire over the rest of us. You know, it's like several Darth Vaders that are
a world of Cheney's.
That's good. Oh, so says scumbags, and he's got it.
Okay.
Yeah,
world of,
absolutely.
Cheney's.
And you know, when you look and you consider at how much money these guys have made, especially Halliburton, which Cheney absolutely owns.
And we paid for it.
Yes, and we
disgusting.
All, yes, we did pay for it. So I'm like, wow. I'm going to encourage Oso to call in. And because Kevin's either running late or he has the time worked out a different way, I'm going to check and see what his number is and give him a ring in.
Mm-hmm.
Call him on this. I have this wonderful. Oh, and Michael Hugh has also joined us in the chat.
Oh, great.
So,
okay, good.
Gentlemen,
hi, Michael.
Anybody
I know he's not online yet.
Wants to call in. That'll be great. I'm right now going to try and give a call to Kevin to get him on the line.
Okay.
So go ahead, Jack, and expound.
Well,
on what you're
it's
thinking.
You know it's easy to play the blame Obama game, and there's a lot of cause to do so, but there's a lot of blame to be thrown at the Republicans too, who have been so intransigent. It's day one on everything. It's just, it's pathetic, you know. And so, you know, there's blame to be shared across the board for this mess that we're in. And the Republicans started it. You know, and then they blame it on Obama. It's just, it's insane.
It really is. It's amazing.
It's
that,
typical. They'll say or do anything to get him out of office. That's what it boils down to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And all you need is a little tiny bit of cooperation. That's all you need.
It is. Right now, my call crew did not get picked up. So, So I'm encouraging the chat room to call in. But going on, you know, there's been a lot of people out there outraged and doing the kind of, you know, when Kevin Blanche does his videos, he uses outrage as a tool to capture attention and put vital information out there because, you know, quite rightly, I think, and if you've ever listened to, like, Pinko the Bear, Up Late with Pinko the Bear, he uses rant outrage in much of getting the information out there to people in his radio show. The drama factor helps to drive the point home. I understand there's been a flame war drama factor going on Facebook today. I'm trying to get these guys to call in, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, guys,
When we're on the left here, we shouldn't be flaming against each other. That's a big mistake.
That's the truth. All it does is
lead to more chaos, and we don't need that. We need a united front behind whoever or whatever to get this job done. We got to beat these corporatists before they beat us totally into nothing.
We're not winning. We're not getting it done, Jack, with the Democrat Party as it stands right now.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what's going on is that. Well, it's not just that. We've got a precedent that's actually got us worse off than what Bush had us. Really, take a look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, the way that the healthcare system worked before all of the healthcare, you know, we were talking earlier about going in and getting healthcare done. Mm-hmm. It was a lot easier to get yourself some healthcare. From the local emergency rooms or state hospitals prior to all of the healthcare reforms that have gone through, because things are now being, you know,
the sad thing about the healthcare debate is that we didn't solve a lot. All we did is we included more people, but the same underlying root cause of all the problem, the profit motive, is still there, and it's still there because of corporate pressure and because of insurance company overbearance, and they're still the biggest part of the picture, period. And, yes, they have some restraints on them, but not enough.
Well, we've got some callers on the line, and I know one is Oso, and I know
Hi, Oso.
He has an opinion.
Hey, Jack, how you doing? Hi,
good.
Hey, hon, how you doing today?
I'm fine. I was just going to concur with Jack that we desperately needed, we didn't need more insurance for everybody. We needed affordable health care. I mean,
right.
So what the plan did was it did make insurance more available, but it didn't do a lot, or actually did very little in the way of making care available to them. I mean, they can still drop you. They can still, deny you. So it didn't do really.
And you still have to pay that additional profit motive of 15% to 20% or more, and that's outrageous. And nowhere in the world do you have that except here. It's so ridiculous.
Well, and my point is it anchored in the profiteering for the insurance companies. And the other thing is that it actually has enabled unscrupulous mother-freaking Republicans to mm-hmm. cut people talking. I have to go probably to the emergency room to get mm-hmm. health care now. And it's in a state hospital, which we have a really decent one here mm-hmm. and a really good one. And it's a toss-up right now because of the Rick Scott being in office. Is it Rick Scott here? Yeah,
he is among the worst.
I know there's but Scott Walker in Wisconsin. It's Rick Scott here. Both
Rick Scott's pretty bad.
As far as corrupt and profiteering and, you know, got the big stiffy for anything that they can do to bring down government funding on anything. And so it's very difficult for people now to access health care that once they could go in and get, and they would work a Medicaid out for you program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a toss-up, and they can actually say, oh, I'm sorry, we can't help you, and turn you away.
Oh, that's detestable.
That's terrible.
Well, it's the truth. That's what's happening.
That's outrageous.
Is that you, Krell, 918 area code?
No.
That's me. I'm just sitting around eating some humble pie right
now. How you doing?
How you doing, man?
I gave you a hard time in the chat room.
I'm just listening to the talk here.
Yep.
Trying to stay out of the heat.
Oh,
is it hot there, too?
It's like 105.
And humid.
And there's no such thing as climate change.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, that's the latest.
You know, the funny
whatsoever.
Thing is that some of the strangest weather we've been having here in Oklahoma, and then we got some of the most rabid climate change deniers here in Oklahoma, too. So
uh-huh.
is that irony or what?
It is. It's complete irony.
Yeah.
It's insane. Well, it's a typical insane Republican position.
It is.
Well,
makes no sense.
The other point about it is, too, that the elements are playing merry hell across the planet, and nobody really knows what's going to happen next. I mean, you've got twisters in Massachusetts and earthquakes in places where you don't expect them, like many ones down here.
Yep.
And our biggest thing was sinkholes at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got more. I heard the Carolinas. Got some quakes this last winter, too.
Wow.
Of course, they weren't huge ones.
Right.
But it was enough for them to feel. And that's very strange. That's extraordinarily strange.
Well, we're running out of money because all the rich people are holding on to it and doing nothing with it. And we're, there's no money to fix the roads, the bridges, the highways. We've got to do something here. This is insane. We have the power of government, which can do something, but it's deadlocked and everybody's fighting and pissing and moaning, and, you know, we're not getting anything solved. And that's why people are so upset. And, something's got to give here because we can't keep going the way it is with the Tea Party are saying no to everything and the Republicans chiming right in with them. They got to get something done here.
I watched a video that was put out by the White House, because I get all those emails.
Mm-hmm.
They don't kick me off change.org, which is a mystery to me.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this really quite good piece of tape with the president sitting with some young students who were half Republican and half Democrat or independent.
Mm-hmm.
And he was describing to them the very plausible, very good strategy of politics that is compromise.
Mm-hmm.
When you have an immovable force, such
mm-hmm.
as we have in Congress,
mm-hmm.
there is no compromise. His compromises have not been in fair play with another compromise. They have
mm-hmm.
been capitulation. There's been no
mm-hmm.
compromise there. It's been
right.
capitulation. He's
mm-hmm.
given away the store. And he's about ready to give away the funding that, you know, and I don't care if it's 2 goddamn cents or it's 20 million here and 20 billion there
mm-hmm.
and shaving the Social Security system in this country is paid for. It's paid for every paycheck.
Exactly.
The unemployment is paid for. It's paid for every check.
Exactly.
It's out fucking outrageous that these bastards in D.C. are doing. Ooh, did my language go to stupid? I don't mean to drop into it, but the outrage is just an example. My outrage is just an example of the outrage that is sweeping fire across this country.
And
people,
the victims. The victims are, it's just disgusting.
And spending will bring down the deficit. It maybe doesn't make sense to say that, but you know, much of the deficit is the automatic stabilizers kicked in. It wasn't out of control.
But they have to be there. They have to be there to maintain standard living.
Unemployment benefits, food stamps, and such like that, and less tax dollars coming in because people losing their jobs.
Exactly.
You need leadership. Money is spent on those worthwhile projects, like Jack mentioned, you know, whether it's infrastructure or whatever.
We've got to start taxing the rich.
I was going to say that just getting job creation will bring in tax dollars, and it'll get people off unemployment and off food stamps, and that'll reduce the deficit. So it's it's practical to actually do that.
Capitalism is caving in on itself, gentlemen. Capitalism is caving in. And the spoils are going towards the bobber on top of the water right now, up to another level of people who are hoarding the money.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remember that we need a leader right now who's willing to go in and stand up strong and slug it out with these guys.
We need a modern-day Teddy Roosevelt to stand up to these pigs like the Koch brothers.
Yeah.
And we don't have them.
No, we don't have it in the White House right now.
Right.
That's just a
we don't
a
have
known...
it anywhere. We don't have it hardly in Congress even. We need some real leaders.
Cynthia McKinney. She is a viable option. But the point is, that people have bought into this uniparty or two-party system, it's
failing us.
It's taken its toll. Taken its toll.
Well, Gore Vidal said, and very true, he said, America has one political party. It's called the Property Party. And he said it has two right wings. One right wing is the Republican Party. The other right wing is the Democratic Party. And it's very true.
It is. It has come to that. If you're left or you're, you know, the neoliberals say that liberals built this country.
Mm-hmm.
There would be no United States of America without liberals and liberal ideas and liberal innovation. It's just...
From the 40-hour work week to paid vacations to unemployment compensation when you're out of work, workman's compensation when you're injured on the job, all of that is liberal creations, every single one of them. And they're conservatives every step of the way. Social Security, they fought everything up and down the ladder that they always have. The conservative viewpoint is wrong, period.
So where do we find the solution? Where do we find the solution? How do we... begin, and this has been an ongoing element of our conversations for months and months on end now.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we find some way to put a viable candidate up there on boards to against Obama and whoever the Republican candidate is? How do we get that done? Even the ones that we think.
I hate to say it, but I think
David,
it's really going to take.
Say it.
It's going to take. It's going to take a cataclysmic event, whether it's a war, whether it's a massive fallout on the economy, whatever it is. That's the only thing that's going to correct this situation.
I'm glad we got there. I'm glad we got there because I'm going to say, what are we, the new Chile? Allende. You know, I mean. Look what those bastards did.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking that this debt ceiling thing is more illusion than anything else, and it's the carpet way for a crisis that will enable. Look what they did to NOLA after Katrina. You know, your children really can't go to public school any longer down there. They got freaking vouchers for charter schools and private systems in everywhere.
Yep.
If they could privatize the damn police systems on a unilateral corruption charge from the Katrina events, they would do so. They use our own tools against us as, you know, the guys with the good guys' side or the liberal side or the ones who are keeping their eyes on the corruption. I mean, they're using that against us. And I have this deep feeling that there is the crisis that they're waiting for is something like a collapse of the economy to usher in martial law and all this. And I don't think I'm being dramatic here.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. They're going to make one thing's for sure. They're going to follow disaster capitalism, and whatever happens, they're going to capitalize on it and screw everybody and make their own position stronger. It never fails.
How do we get out? How do we not allow that? Are they stupid? Do they realize how well armed Americans are? I mean, I'm not, but I can tell you what. Neighbors who I'll drink a beer with or have dinner with, or we've been talking to neighbors.
You know what will happen, Gwen? When they make a power play like that, there will be rioting and guns in the streets, and we can't have
that. It'll be civil war.
And it won't be a geographical one, it'll be an ideological one. That's scary.
I'm reading what Michael Q is saying. He's saying that no successful candidate for office will be able to make any significant changes because there are too many moving parts, and we the people don't have the motivation to make real change. Jeez. I got to beg to differ, but I do see his point.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying Americans are lazy. Well, when it comes to, you know, when the going gets tough.
Yeah.
And I'd really like to know what Oso and David. David, what do you think on those? What is your response to that?
Well, about the Americans being lazy.
Well, yeah.
I think they do have a comfort zone. Each person has a little comfort zone that they've developed, and they will have to be pushed out of that zone. You know, for the most part, I do agree that a lot of Americans are lazy as far as actually not lazy, maybe more scared. They're scared of...
Barn.
Of what the next step is going to be. They're scared for how they're going to feed their families or where they're going to house their children, and they're scared right now. And the thing is how to convert that fear into
action, a positive action. That's right.
And that's a big question right now. That we're not like the Europeans where when they get squeezed like with austerity measures in Greece, they were rioting. In Spain, they were rioting. And here kind of have that pull yourself up by the bootstraps thing, too. But the only rioting here that's happened, you know, the only real insurrection was in the cities, like in L.A. after the King beating and Latasha Harlan's murder. People rose up. And granted, there was a lot, it was rage, and it wasn't well-directed, and it wasn't really ideological, but people did rise up because they're desperate.
Right.
And that's, I think, kind of like what Mike Hugh says and what actually what everybody here is saying is people have to be desperate, and Americans, it takes a lot for us.
Well, they don't have a vehicle to do it with.
Fear.
And plus, you have to look at the point that, you know, we did fight the Cold War and the communists for a long time, and for the longest period of that war that we fought, that it was drilled into our heads that anything different was in a way almost supporting. I mean, especially during the 50s and a little bit beyond that normalcy was the only way that you fought against
it. Well, it demanded conformity, you know.
Well,
yeah, conformity, political and ideal conformity, and there's this big inertia with that, too.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I mean, here in my state, I mean, if you don't have a bumper sticker and a gun rack, you know, you're almost on the cutting edge.
Oh, that is so crazy. We're not like that up
well,
here.
Well, I mean, it's true.
I know what you mean.
And I'm not so sure that it's not the same way for all the other states, too. I mean, there's a vast majority of the people that are afraid to even speak out publicly about what they think privately.
Yeah,
until you get beyond that point.
And this is the land of the free. Isn't that an ironic thing?
Well, it is in a way, but it isn't in a way it isn't. I mean, there's so much social pressure not to speak your mind.
Oh, yeah.
And social pressure can be even greater force than political pressure.
Exactly.
Take into consideration, gentlemen, all of the people disaffected and fighting just to survive right now throughout the Gulf Basin. Take into consideration all the people out of work and without any benefits in the state of California. Take into consideration all of the 99ers and people on unemployment. Mm-hmm. There are great reservoirs of untapped, organizable people out there that if you go to them and say, and I hear Pinko saying it on the radio too quite a bit, we need to organize, we need to get it together. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, and how do we do it? We're doing it. We're doing it by doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't kid, I'm not looking for some kind of, big ego radio show. I'm trying to get the word out. I'm trying to gather people around and have a conversation about it. I'm trying to do good. And mm-hmm. corny as that sounds, it's really my sincere motivation on beyond the ego tripping. I am very happy making enough income to keep doing what I do. I think that the majority of people are really quite content and happy to have their children grow up healthy and watch that happen for them. Mm-hmm. I think that the people who are so ultimately plugged in to having more and being better than the next guy are the people who have brought this on us. And I'm talking about greedy mofos who are corporatists and who don't really understand the whole story of what they're clinging to. Mm-hmm. And as I was, the point I was trying to gravitate to about consensus is that there are great groups of people out there, and look, social networks is making a big difference. It is a global consciousness, and I think it does reach many people. And it only takes one voice sharing with another voice. And the point is that we do have the tools to get people. I think that it's... there's a blame game. I'm reading Michael, and he's saying that there's a blame game going on by people of the Democrats or the Republicans, and that's not a consensus either. No, I think there's plenty of smart people out there that know what's going on. They can see it right in front of them. Do you think people are that goddamn stupid that they listen and see the demonstration of this presidency and don't say, boy, did I get fucked with my last vote? Excuse my language, gentlemen. But that's where it's at. I think that people are extraordinarily hip when we think they're all, dumb and late. No, I think there's great groups of people out there, and I think they're talking to one another on social networks. I think that they're talking to each other in grocery stores or at the gas pump. And I'll tell you what, if you can get a whole state of people on a certain side, say in my state here with all of the organization that just through Facebook that Brian Stetton has done organizing Democrats down here, and there's Tara Woodward who has a page for liberals on Facebook. I mean, if all of those people got together, I mean, it's a few thousand, but if they got together and pointedly talked to others and said, let's have a strike. This week, we won't buy gasoline. We'll all kind of get our cars, loaded up with gas. If you start pulling general strikes. It's like a union. If you strike, if you refuse to play the fucking game, and you tell them where their pocketbook is, you tell them, no, we're not playing the game. They got to look up. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And it's going to be a catalyst. I don't know if
they do it all throughout Europe. We need to borrow from that page and implement something. We need a breakthrough because we're not getting it. We're getting stagnicity, which is it's just ridiculous. You have to beat your head against the wall forever to get one little inch of space. It's terrible. So we need a breakthrough, and whatever it takes, we got to keep chipping away at it like we're doing with all these different avenues you talked about, social networking and everything. We do need a breakthrough, and it's got to happen, and it will eventually happen. We just don't know how it's going to happen.
Boy, I went on a tear, didn't I, John?
You did a good job. Very true.
You know, Michael is playing the wonderful place of the other from the chat room, and he's telling us that, you know, the very obvious things, that people don't care, that people are apathetic, that people, well, you know what? Yeah, people are apathetic, but that's the same thing folks told the grassrooters who were grassroots, you know, enclaves, who were going around and saying, we got a black guy we want to elect president. Okay.
Well, you know what, though? A lot of people in Wisconsin have lost their apathy. People in Wisconsin have lost their apathy. Increasing amounts of people throughout Florida are losing their apathy. And as Republicans go overboard, it dries up the apathy, and that's what we need. We need people to be enraged to the point of action and to do something, you know?
Well, you know, Pinko is just sharing. He can't call in because his Skype is acting funky with him. But and please, anybody listening to the show or listening in the archives, remember Up Late with Pinko the Bear on Blog Talk Radio. It's Pacific time. It's midnight, I believe, or 10 p.m. Pacific. Mm-hmm. Midnight my time, I'm thinking. I'm not quite sure, but just look him up. And I wish you would put a link to his show on the page here. He's telling us that Facebook groups have socialists, anarchists, et cetera, and all of them are calling for a general strike. It's like I haven't noticed because I'm not in many of the heavy, except Roundtree 7's page. Mm-hmm. And then there's Wild Wild Left links. But you got to come back to Facebook, Jack, because there's a lot going on in there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, yeah. I just hate the way they market, and they try and make everybody in the world your friend, and you get bombarded with that shit you got to weed through all the time. I hate that.
It's time to, you know, it's time to just set a stick along the spine and say, hey, I can handle it. In fact, people get into flame wars, especially with old friends and such. I'm busting David today, aren't I? I'm just
you are. Oh, my gosh.
He knows I'm kidding him. You do know that, don't you?
You know, I already offered to have Julian kick me in the never parson and film it so you guys could see it. But somehow I don't think that would be enough.
Yeah.
I would like to ask, what did you get? What, you apparently had a little tete-a-tete, a set to, on Facebook with someone today. But what was the subject? Was it just a general subject about leadership or?
No, it was something that another friend had posted about the need for a third-party political system. And then it got into back and forth between me and this other person that we all know. And it finally came down to him accusing me of only starting RT7 to diss Obama. And that was our sole purpose. So that sort of set me off. I know. That just went over the line. I got a little angry and, you know, pulled out some of my hair and typed down some stuff. And
Well, I
led with a notion it's stupid.
I've noticed a lot of anti-Obama stuff, but nothing that I would say is a concerted effort.
There's a lot of anti everything. There's a lot of anti nuclear. There's a lot of anti.
Yeah.
You know, we cover
absolutely.
The gamut.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I stand with every one of the writers and contributors, and especially our pro Obama crowd, because I think that Dusty, I think she's pro Obama as our leader, and Jack, I think you are. I think you guys are doing that in a default stance, but you're still, you know, honest.
No, you're exactly right.
You know, the thing is, I think we have RT7 is an excellent group of writers that are concerned about the future of the country, and they write about what they feel about.
Exactly right.
And the chips will fall where they fall.
Yeah.
The more radical views there, the more radical views there are expressed, of course, by me, you know, me and my mask, and Krell or David, and who is our formative leader, more or less, because he's our admin. He put the site together and he brought us all together. And also, definitely, I know he's still hiding in the background online right now, aren't you, Ozo?
Yep, I am.
He's a smart one.
Well, he comes when he speaks, he has something to say, and
always.
It's usually rather profound. And basically, I think that the three of us are the more radical voices. I think that Dusty is a very firm and active and angry voice about the injustice of things. She does a very good job of that. But I would say that she's very pro-Obama as our leader. I don't think it's not her first choice. She would probably
She's like the rest of us. She wants him to do what he
president.
Said he was going to do.
Yeah.
She wants him
to
come
through
like he said he was.
She just wants the end results to be great, you know.
Right, right.
She cares about the country just
I'm
like the rest of us.
I'm beyond that myself. You fool me once, shame on me. You fool me twice.
Exactly. That's my opinion too.
You pull me 18 damn times, and I know I'm getting my ass kicked, and I'm not a fool, am I?
Yeah. Right. Right.
But that's not the way politics have been working, and we're in such a volatile time.
Yeah, very true.
And you know, the thing is, I'm not so sure that it's. I mean, Obama is just the latest, but you know, it's really, to me, I mean, this is my own opinion, that it's become the system to me. The system is broke. Obama is just the latest step in the way that the system is operating. And,
that's a good insight,
you know,
David.
To blame Obama for safe just alone is not really understanding the overall
it's
picture.
Not fair.
Right.
He's the beating boy. He's taking the beating for all of the compiled anger right now. I understand that. Honestly, I try very hard to put aside the attitude that I sit down with an open mind and listen to each thing. It's been so difficult since what's happened in the Gulf. Before that, I was an apologist. I really was.
Yeah.
And frankly, I sound like a dilettante. Not even seeing the forest for the trees, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe my anger is part of my own beating up on myself to a certain degree. But all of that psychobabble aside, I do think that I'm trying to make the right choices for the future of the country, and I don't see any of it in what they're putting in front of us. Do you guys?
We do have certain hot-button topics. You know, for me, it's the war.
Absolutely, the war. The war and for me, it's nuclear power as well.
Yeah. You know, when we discuss issues and someone says, Pelosi, man, Pelosi, I love Pelosi. You know, she's up there, she's fighting for us. And I say, she votes to fund the war every time, she wants to attack the aid flotilla. And they'll say, oh, yeah, that. But the thing is, she is doing this and that. And I think, well, wait a minute. Again, you're talking about how certain things which, the party itself is buying into, but I'm talking about women and children being burned alive by white phosphorus. They're different. So that sets me off. On the other hand...
You've actually opened my eyes, also. I was just one of the people who was like, oh, Pelosi, she's the only one fighting for us. And then I'm reminded by Ilso. Just exactly what she...
We tend to be absolutists, and we tend to expect... you know, your particular figure to agree with you all the time or to portray the types of things that you believe in, and it doesn't always work that way. You know, sometimes they're good on certain issues and other ones they're terrible on. It's just, you know, you got to pick and choose, I guess, and that's why it's so fluid.
Yeah, and the only one I like out there is McKinney. She's not even in there anymore, so...
Right.
and
Alan Grayson.
And great.
Yeah, maybe there. Bernie Sanders a little bit.
And Bernie Sanders, yeah, he's still in there, so that's good.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, if I feel that the system, you know, if I feel that the system is broke, I say now's the time to start laying the foundation for change for something else.
Yeah,
don't
right.
continue on with a dead end street.
Right, right. Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is too, and Michael keeps rightfully bringing it up. He's saying that people are struggling to hold on to their little piece of the pie, and
mm-hmm.
it's right now. It's difficult. Of course, no one's perfect. No politician is perfect. But the thing is, and Mike, you were saying it too. I mean, things have to get a lot worse before we have huge groups of people in the street. Well,
mm-hmm.
if the corporatists have their way, I mean, and this is a horrible thing to project, but this is how it's begun in my reality.
Mm-hmm.
I've been educating myself and and I've been gravitating and trusting my instincts on what I hear as the truth and what demonstrates as the truth. I think that people who haven't actually been down to the South here and seen what's going on in the Gulf don't really understand just how badly betrayed to the corporations Obama was, what he did to the whole southeast of the country. I don't, maybe he didn't even, but I thought him a lot more brilliant than that. And I got to tell you, it would take a hell of a lot more to convince me that he didn't know what was going to happen because he is just that smart.
Well, the most of the country has been shielded from that through the media because the media has all but dropped the subject, and it's terrible, you know.
I tell you, the thing is that I would go back to saying, you know, I don't like to project doom and gloom, and if any of my buds were here that I walk my everyday walk and friends in my life were listening to me, they would say, God, Gwen, you're never doom and gloom. You're always the optimist. You're, you know, the sun will come out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the cosmic Pollyanna of the crowd. I'm not fool. You can't push me over. But I refuse to accept the dark side. You understand where I'm going with all that bullshit. And what I'm saying here is that I am seeing such synchronicity of events that I think another event is about to befall. And I don't know if it's this because the whole world is talking. We are so secluded. But if you go on to Al Jazeera or Russian television or any of these places you can get to by the net right now, Link TV, over to Oberman's Current TV. And it isn't Oberman, but some of the programs around him that are saying what the ideas and the apprehensive nature of the rest of the world is on this debt ceiling thing.
Oh, yeah.
All of these different countries, and we've got how much of Western Europe in the streets right now over money, and it's this horrible black projection that I'm about to bespeak of disaster capitalism and the corporatist mindset of putting us in a crisis situation where we are going to be, as Michael suggests, in a position where people will be in the streets. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the collapse of the global economy. That would be at this point, and that's one of the reasons I wanted Kevin today, and I would ask also because he's so well versed with economics and banking. It's his, you know, it's his niche, what he likes to formulate from many times politically, and also what's going to happen reality wise. What would happen? What is the, you know, if we default?
If we default, yeah.
Well, it's going to really kick Wall Street in the ass because it's seen as, the dollar is seen as a safe haven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever times get tough or you've got a fear of inflation, you buy dollars. And if the U.S. defaults, it would probably permanently damage Wall Street. You know, I don't mean bring them down, but I mean it would do a lot of permanent damage to them.
Uh-huh. That's why they're so nervous about it.
Yeah, that's why I can't see it happening. And I think all of the, in spite of everything Fox News says, I think everybody is looking at Republicans as being the one forcing it. And kind of like it happened with Clinton. You know,
and especially the Tea Party faction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if it happened, the finger would be pointed directly at the Republicans, and the Democrats
right.
could get so much out of it. You know, they would be able to say, well, look, here's all we were going to do. And they would be able to blame everything that happens on the Republicans. And,
and that wouldn't actually be accurate.
I think there's a lot of pressure from Wall Street on the Republicans to get them to give in. And I think, unfortunately, the Democrats are going to follow that Rahm Emanuel rule of not letting a good crisis go to waste.
Right, right.
You know, so I think...
Well, anything that'll knock the Tea Party off its axis and get it out of power is, you know, it's an imperfect thing, but it's a good thing because they got to go. Those people are out of their mind.
Well, and David, I wonder on your opinion about this, all of you. Gentlemen, you think that probably we have another place where, and I've already seen it in print somewhere, I can't remember today, I did not watch any of the Sunday shows, but you do think that there will be a compromise or capitulation on the president's end, and they will make some kind of a deal to cut so much. And I think they were calling it the McConnell deal.
Yeah, what is that? Now? I'd heard that something whereby essentially the Republicans can all vote no on it and Obama could veto it. And that way...
He doesn't have the cojones.
No, I think anything that the Republicans come forth with, he's going to accept.
Yeah,
you know, he's going to tie a ribbon around it and dance around with it.
Obama does have the balls to do what he really wants, because look how, I mean, he didn't fight for a lot of things, and so we've been displeased, but he fought to get Bernanke confirmed, and he fought for the bailout.
That's true.
You know,
he fought for his health care plan.
And look what the bailout served nothing but corporations.
Yeah,
it was a short-term service.
He'll fight for what the corporations want and what Wall Street wants, and I think that's why I think that he would have no problem with vetoing it, and then getting that would essentially kick the can down the road, and Republicans could say, well, we fought it, so it's sort of a victory for them, but it would ultimately be seen as a victory for the Democrats.
It's a bunch of face saving, is what it is.
Yeah.
But it does nothing to
the
people.
But it doesn't solve any problems.
It does not.
And it actually creates a few.
It does, yes. Here we have Pinko making something clear here. He's telling us in the chat room that McConnell says, quote, Obama can raise the debt ceiling, but the House gets a vote for disapproval so they can be on the record opposing raising of the ceiling. Which is, it's actually very, very conversational of them, isn't it? Compared to what we've seen in front of cameras for the last month, him and Cantor and Boehner. I can't help but think that these people are basically very, very, they're not quite up to being what I would really want a politician to be as far as intelligence goes. I mean, they have the ability to get the very best of interns there to advise them on the nature of everything that's coming across their desk, and all they can do is give time to lobbyists.
Well, yeah, exactly. They've grown very lazy. They let lobbyists do everything for them. They let lobbyists write bills for them, for God's sake. You know, they don't even think anymore. They don't do any research. It's just it's a facade, really.
David, you have a problem with the credibility of rating firms today?
What happened to the mortgage crisis where the rating firms like Moody's and Standard & Poor were working in collusion with Goldman Sachs and the other when they bundled these mortgage credit default swaps, and were selling them off when they knew that they were junk bonds, basically, and they were rating them as AAA. Why all of a sudden is the rating firms coming back into the picture and having any kind of credibility at all? Now, I mean, if anything, they were half of that party that created this crisis to begin with.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
they rated that
and
ARCUS
AAA,
and they didn't see the housing bubble coming. And suddenly we're
Yeah, so, I mean, why do we even care what they think?
Right.
You know, I mean, are they the only way that the bonds and the interest rates that we pay for credit is defined? Are these the only people that regulate that?
Yeah, because it's set up so that they work for the bond market. Because what happens is, let's say Goldman Sachs comes up with some mortgage-backed security that they want to have rated. They go to, say, Standard & Poor, and they'll rate it, and they get a percentage of what the rating is. So if they say it's worth $1 million, they get a percentage of that.
Exactly. They shop the ratings.
Yeah.
I mean, if one ratings company doesn't give them the ratings they want, they just go to the next ratings firm, and then they'll deal with the other ratings.
It's speculation all over again.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's a partnership that's been bonded in hell.
Sure.
You know,
and the buyers who have to pay for that, kind of like you might do in a home purchase, but then that would require a lot of revamping.
And the person who was showing some backbone and smarts and regulatory mindedness was just axed by Obama out of the room. That would be
thrown
Elizabeth
under the
Warren.
Bus. Elizabeth
thrown
Warren.
Right the fuck under the tires.
That's too bad.
Pardon my lunch.
She would have been tremendous.
She would have. She, like I put on the site today, I put this is a picture of a true American patriot.
Yes.
She is. She's the one that fights for the rights of the people.
That's
the
right.
one the administration wants, Raj Date or Date, I don't know how you pronounce his name, he worked for Capital One.
Last guy we need.
There you go.
Yeah, and you can't tell me that the administration that's in the White House is not corporate-minded, it's not corporate-beholden.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just obvious as hell. I mean, it's Corporation USA here, isn't it?
Exactly. I think they actually had the last word in who was assigned to that position, right? The Consumer Protection?
Yeah.
Weren't they the ones that were actually getting to choose who was going to head that?
They kind of defanged it anyway by it's going to be housed within the Fed. So I think if they have anything done, the Fed Board of Governors has a say. So they couldn't do too much.
Yeah, just like Joseph put in the chat room about Warren being the biggest bait and switch. It was divide and conquer from day one.
Excellent observation there. And they're not learning a thing. They are not learning a goddamn thing about what is going on in the EU right now.
No, there is no rules that have been changed from what created the crisis to begin with. They still have the capability of doing everything that they had up to the day that the whole thing, you know, the economic collapse.
Yeah.
Nothing has been changed. They still do the same credit default swaps. They still do the same hedge funds. There's no regulation on that. Nothing has changed.
They still back the big stuff. The banks got bigger because they helped up a lot of the smaller ones.
No Glass-Steagall, nothing. And basically the American public is, well, as Mikey says, it's a very, very few who bother to really inform themselves, who get outraged enough and go looking for the information. And, it's very, very depressing. And yet we're all informing one another through the internet in various different expressions. If it isn't a social network, it's through the blogging or the online publishing of certain groups. And let me tell you what, everybody thinks that, there's so many thousands of different. Well, I'm beginning to understand that I talk to people in Iran that I catch in different rooms. And they basically know about, like, Greenville Post, and they've seen the byline from somebody at Roundtree 7. It's a small world, gentlemen, and people are paying attention to certain, especially the radical stuff, because it grabs people's attention. I'm not talking about the reposting or rehashing news that's come off of Huffington Post. I'm talking about people who are putting their ideas and their rants or just the same thing. But, you know, people dig up the information and put it on. Look at how many posts David has done about nuclear, and look what Kevin does with the video blogging. That is reaching thousands of people out there. You know,
it does.
You look and see how many people basically will listen on the counters that you get on the, like, Blog Talk Radio or YouTube, how many people have viewed or started to look. Well, they only count a certain amount of the ones that are done. There's more people looking than you think. I found that out from an executive talking to them on Blog Talk Radio. It's a small world, and I think because we all put information out there for change in a more radical way, I think we have to keep that in mind, you know, and not be depressed out of it, you know, not to lose heart with it. We have to keep roaring, you know, or having flame wars. Have the flame war. Have the flame war. It gets attention. And you know, I think a lot of people are also very overly anxious about, my opinion, that there's an over-anxiety about, you know, we're going to lose this wonderful, you know, social networking freedom. I don't think that's going to happen somehow. And it's just an instinct, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's up to us to make more and more use of it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a genie that can't be put back into the bottle. It's the thing is that the Internet was so intertwined with commerce to begin with that when the social media aspects of it came out, it wasn't possible to sort of destroy the one thing that had intertwined itself with business so much. So in a way, they let the genie out of the bottle and they could not put it back in. There wasn't any possible way to. So it's a rare opportunity that, you know, mankind hasn't seen for, if ever, for, you know, the possibility of talking to someone across the world about ideas and like-minded political themes. It's incredible.
Well, look what Brian has accomplished with the rooms that he set up. He set up like about, I don't know, four that I know of rooms, and been in on them. And basically, he's got us speaking with people from Iran, Pakistan, and Afghanistan in the Pakistani room. You know, what is it called? Pakistans and Americans for something. Come on, guys, help me out here. You're members of it. It's Pakistani room. Hello? Did everybody drop on me?
I'm getting back at you. Oh, it's the Pakistanis and Americans for World Peace.
Ah,
right?
Well, there you go. Yeah, and there's so many different ones. And this is the other thing, what we're discussing here in the room and on the show, and people listen to the archive rebroadcast of it. Please understand, there are so many people that you can trade ideas with, that you can learn and grow with, that you can help to illuminate yourself or enlighten. I mean, just sharing how you're thinking about what's going on, talking and having conversations is a form of growth and expansion. I think it's the original version, isn't it? if you're on Facebook or you're on Twitter, I mean, even if you're only using so many characters to do it, I mean, there's incredible growth to be had there, and there's a lot of information to access. You guys are talking in the chat room, and I'm in here talking on my own. Come on, I'm laughing. But we have gone down the road a piece. So also to bring it around here you don't really think that the debt ceiling is going to, we're not going to default on it. We're going to catch it before
Right, because if that would affect, I mean, when you think about it, there's always the thought that, or that belief that props up the big banks and Wall Street firms that the U.S. is going to back them up. You know, we stand behind them. But if we default on the dollar, that will again decrease belief in Wall Street around the world. You know, and again, that's not going to kill it, but it's going to do a body blow that they won't recover from. You know, again, I'm not saying they're going to be down 50%. I would say they may lose 20%, and it'll stay that way. Kind of like the way the Japanese never really came back from their distress. So I don't think that'll be allowed. I think ultimately Wall Street and the multinationals call the shots, and they won't allow it to happen.
Maybe we're looking at the very, very front or spearhead point of what eventually the change of a whole new way of creating stability and providing for all as far as a currency goes, or a way of making the world run other than money. Maybe that's where we're actually at right now. I mean, just musing about it, because it doesn't work. The capitalism isn't working. I mean, does anybody disagree with that?
Nope.
Well, Jay doesn't agree. I do think that's what we're looking at. I do want to. We've been on for an hour without our original guest. I hope I can get him on next week or the week after. I think
Kevin's great.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm going to play us out with one of Kevin's little rants, the one that is currently, I think, up over at Roundtree 7. And I also want to remember here before we go off that people should think about a citizen strike. I think it would be an extraordinary thing if we could make that happen, just even in one state, you know? Can you imagine what it would do? People don't realize what it would do if for one day, in a concerted effort, people in the Western world didn't buy gasoline. Do you know what that would do to the oil industry?
Heck yeah.
It would terrorize them. And, you know, the thing is I've often wondered is how much the American public would be allowed to strike before somehow being tied into some terrorism. I mean, maybe just being a little paranoid, but, you know, terrorism is such a broad paintbrush that can be used for a lot of things. And you know, at one time we called in the National Guard for the coal miner strike. I wonder at what point, if there was a general strike, that it would be allowed to continue. I mean, anybody's thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I would bring up Matawan. You know, I would say that, you know, yes, it's to take a horrible chance. I guess we're coming to a time when it's, you know, and I'm not being anti-feminist by saying this. I'm simply parroting something my mother used to say, and I'm sure that maybe one of your parents said, this is where we separate men from the boys, the wheat from the chaff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are going to stand up and say no. And when some strong person be on there, and oftentimes it's somebody who you least suspect in the crowd that's going to stand up and say, okay, I've had it. And even if they're shaking, they're going to say, no, go ahead, arrest me.
Enough is enough.
You know? enough is enough. My children are at risk. My family is at risk. My freedom is at risk. People are, you know, and this is what I see brewing in our chat rooms, our Facebook, our Twitter, our blog talk radio. This is what I see brewing. I see people who need to be there at the right moment getting ready to do it. Really,
yep.
Honestly, that's the upside of all of this. And I sincerely mean that when I look into the chat room and I see Joseph Imperio's name in there and Krell and Osiri and Osiri. I'm never going to get that right, so I'm always going to say Osa. and Michael Hughes.
Who are your orders?
And Michael is saying, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And you
That's
know,
right.
That was it was a momentary thing, but basically, you can hear that, by the way, Michael. You can hear that just about every weeknight over at Up Late with Pinko the Bear, because I think that's probably his mantra at the end. He's mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. You know, it's happening in these rooms. It's happening online in this global consciousness, this global intelligence, and we have the opportunity to stand up to it, with even if it's just that support of knowing that people have your back, even if it's just back on the board. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I do.
I think that positive thing, that positive part of it all, has to be, you know, put in front of everything. Because without it, how are you going to inspire people to, you know, to the truth of it? That, you know, we have to make choices. You're either with it. What is it? The original standard, the join or die flag. Do you know what I mean? The serpent that was broken into pieces. What is that called? The what flag?
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The one that was on the John Adams special all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one. I've actually got one. It's mostly the Tea Party that are boasting of those kinds of. They grab other people's colors, and somebody made a mistake, walked out with a planet flag. You know.
Oh, you got an anonymous mask too, so I'm jealous.
That was really it really came to me. I don't know where it came from, but it's cool. I like that.
Who knows?
When you think about it, there's one thing, one factor which unites everybody, the wealthy, the poor, everybody on Earth, and that's what Kevin Blanche specializes in, and that's Fukushima and radiation, because no matter how wealthy you are, you will be a victim of it too. So I think that's one issue which, if it really, really comes out and it spreads to the general public, you know, it's not suppressed the way it is, because, you know, you don't really see it covered in the media much at all. That is something which might get people moving. Just the fact that, again, you know, whether you're a Mellon or a Rockefeller or an Osorio or a Williams or a Berry, you're subject to death from radiation or pain from radiation.
Yeah, the invisible killer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true. Well, on that note, I really thank everybody for coming in and even in two and pitching in with today's show. I appreciate it, gentlemen. You're always there. You always got my back. I really appreciate that very much. And I look forward to the upcoming week over at the online publishing of Roundtree7.com, a liberal, leftist, radical, you name it, we are there. And that's Roundtree.
Is it RT7 or is it RT8 now? I forget.
Roundtree7.com, and that 7 is a numeral. That's Roundtree7.com. And it sponsors Fairview Monsters, so does Daughters of Isis, and you can find that at AncestralRealmEcology.com. And I have an announcement here from Cherie Foytlin, and she has an event situated this upcoming week, Pressing the Press to continue coverage of the 2010 oil catastrophe, and we're talking about the Gulf. And if you go online and you Google, I've gotten this, she texted me during the show, and if you go online and you Google or on Facebook and you look for Cherie Foytlin, and that's C-H-E-R-R-I, Foytlin, F-O-Y-T-L-I-N, and she's the lady who of CNN fame and also Gulf Project. She has this upcoming event to bring more media coverage back to the Gulf. People are dying in the Gulf Basin right now. They're dying of the mysterious disease that nobody wants to name, and the CDC is staying away from, but it's a poison, and it's mixed with crude oil, so there you go. And thank you also for calling in, and David Krell for calling in, and I'm going to play off with one of Kevin's rants. So, it's actually the voice of Thinking America's outrage. He's on YouTube at kevindblanche.com, and he has quite a few video conversations with you personally. He gets right in your face, and you'll understand why when I play this off. He's a jack of all trades too, and he's worked. He's working right now on gaining his PhD, but he has basically been a derivatives trader, and the guy's just a Renaissance man. So, we'll listen to Kevin. I thank you all for coming, Justice. Thank you for coming, Finko. Thank you for being here. Finko uses his rants on his show, so that's very cool. David, I know you're still there, so I'll say ta-ta, good night to you, and all my best to the Williams family. And let's get busy with the F word here. This is Kevin Blanche. He's going to sign us out of Here Be Monsters. Everybody have a decent week.
Hi, Kevin Blanche, back to the nuclear fucking nightmare. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? These fucking news media, the fucking conscience of fucking America, the conscience of the world is not all over this. There is plutonium flowing into the Pacific fucking Ocean. Do you understand? I mean, people don't understand the implications. Are we really this fucking stupid? Is this fucking country's conscience really that fucked up? Is it really that pathetic? There is plutonium flowing into the Pacific Ocean. Wow, holy fuck, and the fucking news media, fuck, they're over there fucking watching fucking, you know, what's unfolding in Iraq, or fucking Britney Spears come back or something, fuck, what the fuck, I don't fucking believe this, I don't believe, they prayed, when they do finally show something, they prayed out one fucking nuclear energy so-called expert after another, every last single one of these pieces of shit, you play back the tape for 3 fucking weeks, every one of these fucking so-called experts with a fucking agenda who is pro-nuke, not one single anti-nuke guy on any of the network, not fucking one. I've been going at it with a certain person in the fucking major fucking news media. Her and I have been going at it. She tells me, oh, you're anti-nuke. I'm like, yeah, you're pro-fucking nuke. Fuck, of course I'm anti-nuke. What you see is what you fucking get. Are you kidding me? How can you be pro-fucking nuke? How can anybody be pro-nuke after fucking what's gone on? What the fuck is the matter with this fucking country? Fuck, look. They could have. 3 weeks this has been going on. 3 weeks. The media's got a fucking, they've got some liability. They dummied this fucking down. They dummied this fucking down. TEPCO, every one of those fucking pieces of shit ought to be in jail. Fucking Japanese officials and the so-called regulatory fucking agencies of the nuclear that we've been lied to for fucking 40 years saying, oh, we got plans. We got a handle on this. What's your plan? Oh, we're shooting newspaper in a fucking crack. Spray spray with seawater. What kind of fucking pieces of shit are these? There is no fucking nuclear regulatory agencies. They're a fucking scam. The people you're watching on fucking these news outlets, these so-called, they're a fucking scam. Not one single anti-nuke guy. There is plutonium flowing into the Pacific fucking Ocean. Oh, fuck, okay, we'll just fucking annihilate the greatest food market in the fucking world that feeds Viagra. Go get some. Are you fucking kidding me? There is still oil spilling in the fucking Gulf. Still fucking washing up. We're fucking dumping plutonium in the fucking Atlantic. And this country doesn't give a fuck. And the news fucking media, one fucking so-called expert after another. We've been fucking scammed by fucking Wall Street. The SEC is watching out for us. Oh, yeah. I was on fucking Wall Street. I know what that's all fucking about. SEC, what a fucking joke. That's like fucking taking... I don't even want to fucking go there. They have no fucking clue. White collar crime not is only fucking legal in this country, it is encouraged. People fucking forge documents on your fucking mortgage at the local fucking level. Not one of those fuckers went to jail. Not one. God forbid you get caught with a fucking marijuana fucking seed. They'll fucking lock you up for fucking life. These fuckers are fucking evil. They fucked you out of your 401k. Oh, I got the same amount of money I had when I dumped it in the fucking Dow. The Dow's are the same thing was 10. Oh, really? You think it's the same thing? You know they took GM out and removed it. You know what the Dow would be if they left GM in the fucking Dow? You think that helped your fucking money? And think about your fucking money. Oh, I just fucking put 10,000 in 97. I still got 10,000. Go fucking cash out your 10,000, see what could fucking buy. You used to be able to buy a door. You can't even buy the fucking doorknob. You used to be able to buy 5 or 6 ounces of gold. You can't buy one. You used to be able to buy fucking 10 or 12 fucking barrels of fucking oil. You can't buy fucking one. Well, 100 or 10. 1,000% fucking move. You fuckers have been so fucking scammed, and people sit back. And like I said, the news media, not one single anti-nuke guy. Fuck, I would have never believed it in my fucking entire life. I've been anti-nuke my whole fucking life. I brought my dog tags back out. I wore those after the death of my father for years and years and years. I brought them back out to honor the death of the atomic veterans, all 40,000 of them who are dead, to honor their widows, to honor their children who got no fucking respect, not a fucking medal, not a fucking thank you, not nothing. I worked with the Justice Department for over the last fucking 15 fucking years on this thing. I've been lied to by politicians. I've been lied to by everybody from all the way up, all the way fucking down. They don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck. And apparently the fucking social conscious and the moral conscious or the fucking subconscious of America doesn't give a fuck. And the media sure, oh yeah, the media gives a fuck about their fucking corporate fucking board. These board members are sitting on multiple fucking boards. Oh, God forbid we put a crack in the armor of the fucking empowerment. You got to realize, do you fucking realize that the average athlete in this country makes over 600 times the average worker in America? The average CEO makes over 800 times the average working class in America. In 1975, that number was less than 3. This has been the biggest redistribution of fucking wealth in the history of the world. This is a philosophy. And you right-wing neocon fucking nutcase fucking... Well, the Democrats are no better. No better. This has just been sucked up. Fuck, when it comes to regulation in the fucking Gulf, drill, baby, drill. When it comes to fucking nuclear fucking regulation agencies, oh, we got a fucking plan. Spray newspaper in the fucking cracks while we put plutonium in the fucking Pacific fucking Ocean. 6, and there's more than 6 up the road. Not even that complex. The other complex is spewing right now. No news media. It is spewing. It's blowing. There's another one right up the fucking coastline of Japan that's going through the same nightmare. They scammed you out of your 401k. Game from free marketplace, free marketplace, free marketplace. Fucking go read fucking Alexander Hamilton, the first fucking great economist of the United States, the first Secretary of the Treasury, the man who created it all. Go read what he said about tariffs. You fuckers don't know communism from socialism, fucking capitalism. You never studied a word of it. You're a 10-second soundbite on fucking Fox. You fucking Christine O'Donnell, I'm a constitutional fucking scholar because I attended a fucking 2-hour fucking seminar. Are you fucking kidding me? What the fuck is the matter with this fucking country? There is plutonium going into the Pacific fucking Ocean. Take your fucking chances. Nuclear fish? Oil fucking fish. We're fucked. And nobody gives a fuck. And like I said, the media prays out one asshole after another with a fucking sick agenda. There's a price to pay. There's fucking liability. Play back every one of you pieces of shit dummy that fucking now. Not one single anti-nuke guy. Not fucking one. So like I said, I've been going at it. I've been going out with this female. She says, oh, yeah, I get accused of being too Freudian. My own daughters tell me I'm too fucking Freudian. I take that as a compliment. I am fucking Freudian in the fucking reality of it. This is fucking serious, serious fucking nightmare. No one gives a fuck. It's just going to go away. We're so used to a fucking 3-week fucking news cycle that it's over. This ain't going away. This is not going away. This is catastrophic. Stay with me.
And that's Kevin.
You got it, man.
This is Kevin. This is Gwen. That was Kevin. And happy Sunday. Stay with us. Come back next week. This is Here Be Monsters.